God's unconditional love. Many of us have heard the good news of the gospel, which is encapsulated in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That gospel message has been life-changing for millions of Christians throughout the course of the last couple of millennia. The question is, has it been life-changing for us? For many Catholics, the fact that God loves us has made very little difference in our daily lives. It has not really changed our attitude to other people. It hasn't helped us to love them more. It hasn't even changed our attitude to ourselves. Many of us are filled with shame, fear, anger, or self-loathing, and are still not really very comfortable in our own skin. Many of us exist in a state of quiet desolation, effectively unaware of the impact of God's love. If we read the Psalms and the Prophets from the Old Testament, or the Gospels and the Epistles from the New Testament, we can't help but notice that God's love is unconditional. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel, the chosen people, were constantly falling away from the way of life that God wanted them to lead. And yet, instead of condemning them and rejecting them, God chose to overlook their faults, their errors, and their sins, and tried to encourage them to repent and come back into loving relationship with him. That dynamic of God's unconditional love is summed up in the 11th chapter of the book of Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. What a beautiful image of the tenderness and care of our God. In Romans chapter 5 we read, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the love that God has for us. God's love for us is unconditional, in that there's nothing we need to do to earn it. There's nothing we can do that will lessen God's love for us. He loves us not because of what we can do for him. He loves us not because of our talents and natural gifting. He loves us not because of our good deeds. And he will never stop loving us, no matter how many grave sins we commit or how many terrible mistakes we make in life. There is a natural human instinct, a sense of justice perhaps, that makes us want to earn God's love. Maybe we think that God can't love us because we are so sinful, deceitful, or unjust ourselves. Maybe we feel that God can't love us because we are too fat, too thin, unattractive, socially awkward, not particularly impressive, or downright loathsome. Or perhaps we think that God must love us because we are so beautiful, accomplished, clever, funny, or because we are liked by other people. And when we sin and fall short of the dignity that we were baptized into, the dignity of beloved sons and daughters of God, surely God is disappointed in us. Surely he shakes his head in exasperation. Surely he's irritated at our fickle human nature and turns away in disgust. But none of this is true. As difficult as it is for us to accept, God loves us regardless of our faults, despite the fact that we don't love ourselves, and whether we are brilliant or dumb, stunningly beautiful or physically disfigured, shunned by society or hero worshipped by our followers. His love is constant, never wavering, relentless even. It's true that God loves us even when we sin, but that of course doesn't mean that he wants us to sin. He knows that sin is bad for us, and so he often provides ways for us to repent and to restore the relationship of love that he wants for us. In a sense, our sin causes him to have compassion on us. In fact, he has so much compassion for us in our sinful state that he even decided to go to ridiculous lengths to save us from our sin. He himself became a man and died for us to release us from bondage to sin. We ourselves find it difficult to love unconditionally, and that's one of the reasons why we find it difficult to conceptualize God's unconditional love. Many of us spend a lot of time judging each other on the basis of our actions, appearance, lack of charm, achievements or success. And some of us also spend a lot of time in self-recrimination of one kind or another. So we find it difficult to conjure up the image of a God who loves us steadily without having any apparent reason to. God brought us into existence. God wants us in the world. We are, first and foremost, His. We belong to Him as His precious sons and daughters, and in everything we do, God watches over us with great tenderness and love. In a very real sense, our parents simply collaborated with God, whether knowingly or unknowingly, to bring us into the world. And so He wants only our good and arranges the circumstances of our lives so that we can encounter Him and experience the liberating power of His love. That encounter with God's love comes to us in multiple ways, through the love of other people, our family, our friends, through the blessings that God pours down upon us, good news that we hear, financial security, a home, a salary, even a beautiful sunny day. God's love comes to us through His protection, through physical and emotional healing, through His protecting us from harm as we move from place to place. But on a day-to-day basis, we can have access to God's constant love through prayer. Daily prayer is where we meet the saving power of Jesus' love. By spending some time each day in prayer, we can, as it were, gaze into the eyes of Jesus and feel His love for us. And when we know we are loved, when we feel God's protection and strength in prayer, we in turn can become a conduit and a vehicle of God's love to other people. When we dwell in the full dignity of a beloved child of God, what then becomes possible are freedom from life's worries, confidence when relating to others, and the ability to humbly serve the members of our family, our friends, and even the stranger in our midst. In prayer, we begin to see ourselves through God's eyes. We begin to see that we are lovable and begin to love ourselves. When we experience the love of God, it builds up in us a hunger for more of that love. And the pursuit of that love becomes the road to holiness. It is the unconditional love of God that empowers us to avoid sin, to seek only the things that will help us on the road to sanctity, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. It's in prayer that we can remind ourselves of how much God loves us and allow that love to transform us into the true image of the person God created us to be. Let's pray now for the grace to perceive the unconditional love of God. Lord Jesus, You have shown us the depths of Your love for us by dying in our place in order to bring us back into communion with God our Father. Reveal to us Your love. Help us to cling to the knowledge that Your love requires no performance on our part, that our sins do not disgust You, and that You love us with a steadfast love. Amen.